Welcome to Business Game Changers, where you'll hear expert tips on the big issues and the hottest trends to level up your business game. If you're building a career or building a business, this is Must Hear Radio. Here's your host, Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. Social media has changed the game in marketing, politics, and in almost all other areas of life. 94% of small to mid-sized companies and virtually all large companies are using social media as a marketing tool, according to a recent study conducted by Pew Research. Political groups are using it to sway public opinion and to affect change. Governments are using it to balance out social threats and to calm unrest. They're also using it to track our every move and to study our behaviors. How is your company using social media? Are your competitors using it more effectively than you? Most business professionals really don't know. To get some answers to these questions, we are talking with Amy Loria, president and owner of Spotlight Business Solutions. Her firm specializes in providing social media solutions to small and mid-sized businesses. Hi, Amy. Thanks for joining the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so social media is for sure a game changer for businesses. 81% are using it to drive growth, and 94% are using it as a market tool. So I think it's here to stay. This was numbers that I found off LinkedIn and a research firm that they worked with. But I have a question for you. What is social media? What do you say? How do you define it?
Social media is it's an online conversation that you have with somebody, but it's in front of pretty much the entire world. So people think, you can only see it in my little sphere, or if I only have 50 friends, on Facebook, you can only see it in those 50 people, but that's not true. Anybody can find it at any time. But it really is social. You know, that's why they call it social media, because you're supposed to engage with other people and get them to talk about your product, your services, or something that's happening.
I think people don't realize how many people can see what they're putting online.
There's billions of people. people see what you do.
Well, when you're online and you're posting something or whatever, there's such a barrier. You're sitting in your computer. You don't see the billions of people. So it's hard to connect to the fact that you are really out there when you're posting and putting things online.
Yeah, absolutely. You always have to be conscious of that too, that, the message that you post one day, from one day to the next, if it's not the same congruent message, or if, maybe you take more of a political stance, or, you post something on religion and you can really hurt your client base based on things that you post. So you always have to be consciously aware of what you're posting and what your message is to your customer base.
Your credibility is always on the line, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, one little thing and people go from being very nice to, we're not following you anymore. We don't want anything to do with you. I mean, people can turn on you in a second if you aren't consciously aware of what you're posting.
So how do you, I know you have lots of business clients and I know your business is growing leaps and bounds and it's because this is in such high demand and people really, I mean, let's face it, so many people are clueless on how to get their name out there, how to use social media properly, or I shouldn't say properly, effectively to grow their business. So what do you recommend? I know that's a huge question, but what are you seeing as some of the most effective ways of using social media?
that's a very loaded question.
I know. Well, let's start. Let's define that a little bit. What are you seeing for small and medium sized businesses? How are they using social media to grow their customer base?
Well, a lot of people are on Facebook, and I highly recommend Facebook. A lot of businesses aren't quite sure that they want to get on social media, and I always recommend the first step is to get a Facebook business page. From there, you can go, to Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, just kind of depending on what type of business you have. But, you know, if you're out there and you're a small business and you're kind of looking to get more exposure, I would highly recommend you get on Facebook just to start with.
Well, how do you get people, to see your Facebook page?
Well, obviously you can share it with your friends. You can do advertising, which I usually don't recommend to people right away. You want to build that organic base of people first. So that's where somebody like me comes in, you know, who can help you build your client base. I have a lot of, contacts in my reach, on my Facebook page that I will share it with, kind of start sharing it to my page, share it to other pages. There are hashtags that you can use. You want to tag other businesses, other locations, and all these different things will allow you to get a broader reach. So if you've got, you know, 35 people on your Facebook page and every time you post you're only getting 10 people to actually look at it, if you tag the location that you're in, you know, so I'm a bakery, I'm in Woodbury, and I just made a fresh batch of new muffins. I'm going to take a picture of it. I'm going to tag, you know, Woodbury, you know, put some hashtags in there, and it's going to broaden your reach. So you're going to, you know, go from 10 people seeing it to, you know, maybe 45.
Okay, so, because I hear 10 people, I'm like, that's a waste of time. I'd rather stay in bed, you know, but...
Well, but you got to start somewhere, too.
Yes.
People, unless you have billions of dollars, or a lot of money, I shouldn't say billions, but unless you have money that you can throw at the campaigns, you know, some of these larger companies out there can just throw money at it and it starts to grow and it generates and before you know it, you've got 40,000 people. But for the rest of us who have to do it organically and, you know, one like at a time, every post you put out there counts, and it adds to that search engine optimization. It adds to the hits to your website if you're linking your website in there. You know, so it's all working. It may take a while.
Well, if everybody else is doing it, how do you stay ahead of your competition? You just hire people like you that are better?
Yes. I do a lot of research. I'm always on the computer trying to figure out kind of what the next big thing is. Everything's constantly changing in the world of social media, and it's a daunting task to stay on top of it, but I always want to offer my clients the best possible information and the latest trends going on. I mean, Google is one right now that is changing the face of what they're doing. They used to be just a search engine, and now they're a social media marketing machine. You know, they've got Google Now, they've got, they've got Google Plus, Google Places, they've got all these things. So it's constantly changing and constantly evolving.
When I look at, because I pulled up a Pew research that shows that 73% of online adults use social media and 71% of those use Facebook. But, you know, in their research, they don't even put Google in there. I mean, Google would probably dwarf Facebook in the amount of people that use it on a regular, how often they use it, shall I say.
But they're using it as a search engine for right now, and Google is trying to change the face of it so that people start to use Google Plus, and Google profiles like you do for Facebook. If you go in and use your Google Plus page, you know, they've adopted the hashtags and, the tagging other businesses and people, link building and all that kind of stuff. So they're trying to keep up with the Joneses, and I don't know, they're kind of a force to be reckoned with. You know, Google Google, Bing, those kinds of things.
It's, all the search engines.
I don't know. Especially with Google's, you know, background as a search engine. They might have some competition. You know, MySpace was out there for a while, and they just don't measure up to Facebook. But I think Google might come up, be a front runner.
Well, whenever you have that big of a base of users, you have this whole thing sitting out there that you can do something with. And that's what's, I shouldn't say scary about Google, sort of scary depending on how they use it. Facebook should be scared. All these other places, Facebook should be scared of a whole bunch of fronts. They're the big dog. Whenever you're the big dog, you should be scared, I think. You got to constantly stay ahead of your competition.
Yeah, I think that's why they constantly change things too. You know,
Well, I also did some research. The Pew Research thing showed these other media platforms, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Twitter, and Instagram. They were the next biggest. And all of them from one year to the next, from 2012 to 2013, all of them, including Facebook, are still growing in the percentage of adults that are using them. None of them have shrunk in the percentage. And the percent of adults keep increasing.
And I've heard. Go ahead. Well, I've heard, you know, a lot of people kind of complain that, oh, it's for kids, and why would I get on there? You know, it's not going to meet my demographic. You're wrong. It's a completely new demographic than it was, you know, 3 years ago, because all of the kids are realizing that that mom and dad are on Facebook now, and, you know, so they're getting off. So, you know, the demographic on Facebook right now is 40 to 65 years old.
Yeah, you know, kids do not want to be with mom and dad. I know that just for my own kids. They want to stay clear of me.
They
that's
do not
okay.
Want to be
I was like
in
that
photos
when I was
and
oh yeah. My son went to a dance this past weekend, and he did not. All these other parents can go and take pictures, but I couldn't go. Well, actually, what he told me was, "Mom, you can go, but you can't laugh." And then I laughed. He goes, "That's why," because "I heard you laugh across the soccer field the other day." So he doesn't want me to go. I thought that was funny. Whatever.
It's true though. You know, they want their privacy, so they're going. You know, things like. They're going to things like Snapchat, you know, where it's there and then it's gone. It's still out there if somebody wanted to see it, but, you know, it's just between them and a friend. So the social media platforms like Facebook and Pinterest and Instagram, the demographic is much older now. You know, it's kind of that prime age group for consumers.
Well, it's the people with money, right? They want it.
Yeah.
They want to target that. The other thing that showed us like LinkedIn is more college graduates. Pinterest has four times as many females than males. So you really start to have the ability to micro target your customers with advertising.
Yeah.
And isn't that the whole thing, the big wave where people are starting to figure out how to micro? Isn't that what Google is about, where they're starting to really look at your demographics and Facebook looking at, and people are entering in their demographics for them. Google, when they're doing searches, they're figuring out all this stuff about you. So it's becoming to the point where they know what you look at, what you buy, what news articles you read with what topics, so that companies can micro target you in advertising.
Yeah. It's so if you go in and do a search for, you know, fresh farm eggs one day, and you know next day you go in, it's going to show up on Google, you know, on your right hand side, all the places in the Twin Cities that have fresh farmed eggs, you know. So it what's more is it remembers.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a little scary, but it's very cool technology for the business owners. You know, so if you do an ad. You know, whereas before you would have to do an ad in a newspaper, send it out, you know, and hope to God that you would get, you know, somebody to call you or stop into your store or email you. But now you just type in the demographics. Okay, I want, you know, ages 18 to 45. They have to be in this town, and they're interested in this. And it sends everybody to your page. You know, it's kind of remarkable.
And it's less expensive, isn't it, than just blanketing an area. You're actually spending less to micro-target.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you're getting it to the people who really want the information rather than just a blanket, you know, blanket advertisement that shows, you know, to 100 billion people, but you don't know if it's actually going to the right people.
So this is really a way for smaller and medium-sized businesses to get a lot more bang for their buck. Do you think that it has equalized competition? It has allowed smaller and medium-sized businesses to start to really compete against the bigger companies?
I think in a way it has. A lot of the smaller businesses don't realize how much time it actually takes to kind of get up there in those ranks with the bigger dogs and the bigger businesses. You know, even if it equalizes it to a certain extent, but unless you have that money to back it up, you're not going to reach their level at the same time.
So in some ways it might be, unless you're really good at it, it equalizes it for the people who are really good at it, but in other ways, it maybe it creates more of a separation.
It can, yeah. You know, I was reading a new study on Google, or it was a new article on Google, and they actually had in there that if people, you know, the more quality content that you post for people and the more time and research that you put into it, the better results people statistically get. So if you're just out there and you're posting kind of willy-nilly and you don't really have rhyme or reason to what you're doing, yeah, you may get a lot of hits, you may get a lot of likes, and you may get a lot of interaction, but it's not necessarily the quality interaction that you want. It's not necessarily, you know, the likes that are going to get you business. It's just
How does a Facebook likes get you business? I still don't understand that. So let's say somebody has 10 likes and you have 5,000 likes. How do all those likes, does that up your ranking somehow?
It increases your visibility. So basically the way I look at it is your Facebook page should be driving everybody back to your website. So whatever you're selling, whatever you're doing, you always want people to go back to your website or wherever your products are offered so that they can purchase them. Indirectly, you may or may not see a lot of business, you know, a lot of sales off of your Facebook page, but you're getting the word out there and you're populating those search engines with information about your business and directing them to your website. You know, so you're populating the internet, you're populating the search engines with all of your information to get people to your website. So yeah, you're building your ranking through Facebook.
And it's important that once they're at your website that you have a good website that does something with when they're there. Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Absolutely. You've got to have bells and whistles or something to keep their attention. Otherwise, they get to the website and go, "Oh, well, this was a waste of time," and then they go elsewhere, and then you've lost a sale.
Yeah. So business is just conducted differently, and basically the train is out of the station, and you got to figure out where to pick up, you know, get on it if you're not on it at this point.
And if
you're on a slow train, maybe you need to figure out how to get onto a better train. hiring somebody like you. Let's get into some darker stuff, which is so interesting. Facebook did a demographic study where they were trying to figure out, it was a psychological study where they were trying to figure out if they could alter people's moods by just doing fake posts. And they figured out that they they did this big study where they figured out they could get people to feel more happy or they could get them to feel more depressed. Basically, if they were posting negative posts, people started posting negative posts. And if they were posting positive posts, happy kind of posts, people were posting happy posts. And, you know, to me, being a business, I teach a, you know, class at the U on culture and different things and to me, that's just culture change and how you develop culture. It really makes sense. But now they have a study showing it. But the people are pretty creeped out by it. What do you think about that?
You know, I mean, if you put it in a different context, you know, if you watch the news and it's really depressing, you know, and somebody in your neighborhood got shot or there was a robbery or something terrible happened, you know, it's going to affect you negatively. If you read a magazine and there's a post or an article about something negative, it's going to affect you negatively. If there's, you know, if you watch a TV program and it makes you really happy, you're going to be happy. So it's the same kind of thing, just in a different context. It seems like people kind of get a little bit more bent out of shape about Facebook and other social media platforms because it's so new. They haven't really had time to think of it in other terms.
Don't you think it's scary for them because it's unknown? They think it's Big Brother controlling you and they're so smart and they can manipulate you and everything else. But what they don't understand is that television has been doing this for a long time and they have been doing it very, very deliberately for a long time. And people just don't realize it. Now the news is getting out and people are realizing that, well, wait a minute, we've been affected by this for ever since. I mean, they really have been. And there's lots of studies out there showing how much they manipulate the news and so forth. And for years, it's just people are being educated now.
Right. I mean, if you look back during World War II, the type of advertisements that they put out about the Axis versus the Allies, You know, so if you were, you know, on the access side, there were some pretty negative campaigns that went about. So everybody thinks about it and they get negative thoughts in their head. You know, it's the same kind of thing. And that was back in the 40s.
Well, that's how you do know? A campaign. So, and that's how you do a campaign without people realizing you're doing a campaign. You do articles. Yep. I mean, that's what they advertising executives know. And that's free advertisement a lot of times. And so they figure out how to get newspaper articles or television stories that are spun the way they want to do a marketing campaign. It's an indirect way of doing that. And so Facebook is just essentially figuring out how do we do the same thing. I'm not saying it's good. It's just that's what they're doing, right?
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing, but it's nothing new. It's just in a different context. And because it is unknown and it's so new, people panic about it. A good example about, you know, kind of the negative effects on people is the Facebook Messenger app that came out. You know, whether you're for or against it, everybody kind of panicked when it first came out because it was asking for permissions for things. Well, if you look at the verbiage in the, contract, it's the same kind of verbiage that you would get for any iTunes download or you know Apple download. It asks you for permission to use your contacts, your pictures, your camera, you know, all of the different stuff. But there was just so much hype, negative hype built around it that as soon as it came out, everybody freaked out about it. You know, because it had that negative connotation with it. After it had come out and people had, you know, it was a positive, more and more people would have used it, and there wouldn't have been any negative press surrounding it at all. Well, there wouldn't have been any problems. But.
Well, with all the conspiracy theories coming out, and it's people just being educated on the way the world works, and now there's more tools to do these things. And so, you know, I can see some of the scariness, but the social movements that are allowed to happen are kind of cool. You think about it. All the big issues can be discussed in these different platforms, right? Aren't there chat groups and all these different ways that people can discuss issues?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it brings people closer together too. You know, a lot of times people just focus on the negative, but there's a lot of positive things that come out of it as well. You know, if you're an activist for, you know, people in other countries that, you know, need help with, you know, food and water, you can find those people on Facebook and you can reach out to them and you can help them directly rather than sending a check to
that's
United Way or, you know, whatever it was back, you know, 20 years ago and wondering if your money actually got to them. You can see the results right there. You can say, I just donated $20 and it went to that kid right there. And he's going to eat for the rest of the week, you know. So there's a lot of positive things that can bring the world closer together too.
Well, and if you have a good product or something good that can cure or really help somebody with a disease, that group of people could directly invest in that company, and you can bring it to market. There's so many. I know there's been a lot more companies that have been able to raise money based on social media. And so really, if you think about it, it's a way that we can get around the whole Wall Street thing as well and allow these smaller companies with great ideas to be able to self-fund themselves, microfund. Yep. What is that called where all these people are, there's a term for it.
Like the Kickstarter campaigns and everything. Yeah, I'm not sure what the term is.
But there's a term for where a whole bunch of different people are putting money into a company. And you're raising money that way. But from a social media standpoint, let's say you're on a blog or on a platform that is talking about, you know, some disease that somebody has, and you have the ability to really make a difference. These big companies might not, or the big financial companies might not back you, or you could be a threat to another pharmaceutical company.
Yep.
But there's this huge demand for it, and they could fund you directly. I mean, there's some really cool, you know, huge impacting societal changes that could happen if this technology is used that way. And that it just will be used that way.
Yeah. And there's more and more of those websites and those kind of groups out there as well. There's a new one and I forget what the name of it is. I should have wrote it down. But it's kind of like Kickstarter, only it's for business owners, and you can actually have people invest in your company. They'll lend you, you know, $20 at a time or $50 or whatever you need for your website or your product or whatever, you know, so it's funded by other like-minded people who are hardworking business owners like you. You know, so they understand the value of it. You know, they're brought together on this website, and you can fund something really great and see somebody succeed. You know, so not only are you helping kind of yourself, you know, but you get to help somebody else.
Well, that's such a bright light, right? It's refreshing.
It's really cool.
There's some really good things that can happen from it. Obviously, there's some negative things too, but there's some really positive things that can really change the infrastructure. Okay, I'm going to get on another topic and I'm going to hear what you have to say about this stuff. A lot of kids use social media, and they use it more than adults do, right? But they don't have the blockers. They just put it all out there.
Right.
They just don't have a clue. And they're putting things out there that are completely inappropriate. How much is that going to affect them?
You know, like I said before, people are watching. Like anything that you put out on the internet, even if you delete it, it's still there. There's still an address to it. There's still a trace. It can still be found. So if you post something out there, you know, maybe you're under 21 and you're at a party and you're drinking and maybe you're doing something else illegal, and you post on Facebook, even if you're not tagged in it, in 2 years' time, you go to get a job, you know, with a business firm somewhere, they can find that. And that can be really detrimental to your future, you know. So just, I think kids really need to make sure that they're consciously aware of what they're posting, just like a business owner, and make sure that what you're posting is what you want people to see, you know, in 5 years' time. Because if it's not, you know, and it may not reflect your opinion, you know, in a few years or, you know, you're kind of a partier and you know you're going to grow out of it, you really have to be careful with what you post.
Basically, whatever you put online, make sure you're comfortable with your grandma seeing it. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're not,
it's not going away.
You make sure you don't do anything stupid. I have two teenage kids, so my daughter's worse than my son as far as using not necessary. She's younger too. She's 13 and she's right in the thick of it. And some of the stuff I see some of our friends post are pretty crazy. I can't believe they're doing some of the things they're doing.
Woo-hoo. Yep. Yeah, I know. I've seen a few things too I work with a nonprofit museum in South St. Paul, and we've got some cadets, and sometimes I just kind of go, why would you post that? That is not okay. I wouldn't post that if you paid me.
Don't do that.
You have to be consciously aware, that people are watching.
Well, what about the bullying? What do you think about that? It's such a great platform for kids to hurt each other, right?
Verbally slandering.
Well, because when you're not face to face, you can say so many things that are negative. So what do kids do, and what do you do with this all this bullying that's going on in the schools?
I don't have kids, and I don't have teenagers. I've got a niece. I've got two nieces and a nephew, and they're a little bit younger, but they're that's kind of a hard one. If I was being attacked on the internet, which actually I have been before.
But haven't a lot of businesses get attacked on the internet as well?
Yeah, they can be. And you have to take it with a grain of salt sometimes. Sometimes people are just out there, and no matter what you do or what you say, they're just negative people, and they're not going to take the high road. They're going to post something negative.
I had a media expert tell me the best thing that you can do when there's negative press about you is to ignore it. When you address it, all it does is make the negative press worse.
So it fuels the fire.
The fire. So ignore it. It'll go away. Just whatever. Is it bad to counteract and just maybe your positive post should indirectly negate it in a way where you're not identifying it?
You know, my philosophy is if somebody is bad mouthing me on the internet or sends an email to somebody that I get, I actually go directly to the person in person and say, hey, we need to talk. You know, I'm a very I like to confront people about things. I don't like to leave anything out, you know, kind of out in the open. I like to just make sure it's addressed and we move on and we're
but
done.
But what
sometimes
happens when it's
going to resolve it?
Yeah, but when it's a competitor, it's a business competitor, you don't even know where it's coming from. It's anonymous, you know, some of these, all the comments below and everything else, they have names that you have no clue where it's coming from.
Yeah. Well, and it depends on where it is too. If it's something that's really slanderous and you're not sure where it came from, you can certainly delete it on Facebook or you can block the user. So that's at least nice. And kids can do that too. If somebody is out there, you know, and somebody's really harassing you, you can block them and report them to Facebook or, you know, Instagram or whatever else. Cause there are people out there that do that.
And they can delete your threads, right?
I would take the high road. Yeah, you can delete your thread. You can get rid of that if it's on your wall. If somebody's tagged you in a post that is just inappropriate and slanderous, you can ask Facebook to untag you in it and remove the post. There are things that you can do that subtly let them know, you know, this is not okay. Don't use my name in vain, you know, anymore.
Sure.
But I would try to keep the high road. I don't like to fight dirty. I don't like to, you know, especially on the internet or anything like that. If there's a competitor out there that's bad mouthing you, don't go in the trenches with them and bad mouth them back. Take the high road.
Because it makes you look, it's just going to make you look bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And why stoop to their level? Same thing with a bully. You know, take the high road. You know, I know it's easier said than done sometimes, but it's going to pay off in the long run to just keep that positive attitude.
With everything that you post and your whole presence should always have that message. Okay, so I did some more research and I found that, let me see, where is it? The only company that made money this year was Facebook.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and these companies, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Twitter, well, LinkedIn bumps back and forth between losing a little bit and then gaining a little bit, but they really haven't made any money. Pinterest, Twitter, all these companies are losing significant money. Twitter has lost, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars every year.
Yeah. Well, Facebook's kind of got the algorithm down. They figured out how to target people for ads. They know, you know, just kind of like Google, they know what you're searching for and it pops up in your news feed or on the right hand side of the screen. So they've kind of got it figured out how to make that money. You know, they've changed things, they've evolved, and they stay on top of it. You know, whereas like LinkedIn, you can upgrade to a pro profile. But why do that when you can do all the free stuff? You know, you can pay for other things, but what do you get out of it?
Yeah, LinkedIn.
Same thing with Twitter.
LinkedIn makes money with advertising for ads or for employees. So they're not losing, but they're not making. But
right.
you know,
right.
you
but
get
they're not
Twitter
aggressive like Facebook is.
But how can Twitter stay in business losing they lost about $511 billion, or I'm sorry, $1 million. It's not billion. $511 million in 2013. I mean, how can you constantly? At some point,
you constantly lose that much.
Yeah, you can't do that. Facebook earned over $800 million, which is
wow.
Good numbers. But what's weird is Snapchat, which is they're losing money, but they have no revenue at all. No way to get revenue at this point.
Yeah, because it's just you just send picture text messages back and forth to each other that disappear, right?
Yeah. So what is that?
I find that one a little weird, but I know a lot of the younger kids like it. So that's interesting though about Twitter losing so much money. If you notice though, towards the end of the year, but this year they've been making a lot of changes. They changed their landing pages when you log in for a business.
Mm-hmm.
It has a little bit more of a feel like Facebook. You know, so they're getting more intuitive. They're coming up with new things to kind of stay on top and stay one of those big dogs. So I don't know, maybe we'll see what they come up with next to stay on top of the advertising.
I would think their investors said, okay, now you've built your base. We still want to build a bigger base, but you got to start making some money here. Otherwise, it's not going to fly.
Well, their ads aren't quite as in your face as Facebook is. You know, Facebook will... If you click on a certain thing, it'll go, would you like to add this? Or would you like to advertise this? How about a boost? You know, I mean, it really gets in your face and it's constantly there. Like, would you like fries with that? You know?
Exactly.
It's just, You know, they're always trying to upsell. Well, they got it down.
Well, the other thing that I thought was really interesting is Amazon isn't making money. They're the largest online. Yeah, they're not making money, which I thought was crazy. I know they're not a social media deal.
Right.
But it's weird. So I assume that these companies are just spending this money to build their base. And then once they have their base, they're figuring out how to make money. But I would think a better strategy would be to try to make money along the way somehow and not just bleed money. Amazon is so large that they should be making money.
Yeah, well, and they've got so many good programs, too, that they offer. You know, they've got Amazon Prime. I don't know if you've heard of Amazon Smiles, but they give back for certain purchases. If you've got a nonprofit that's registered, they'll give you, like, 2% back or something. You know, so they've got this huge base and all of these great ideas. Their overhead just must be ridiculous.
Yeah, they got to be more effective, more efficient in how they operate.
Yeah.
But what do you think of Skype? Skype has, it looks like Skype's trying to get to more of a Facebook type look to it, which I thought was interesting.
It is. Yeah. They're all kind of merging into this one, you know, kind of style because Facebook works. You know, people see it and they model after it. Yeah, I logged into my Skype account this afternoon and it wanted, you know, more information and what I was doing right now. And like, what? I just want to make a phone call.
Yeah, I don't know if Skype's going to be able to do that because like you just said, I just want to make a phone call. I'm just not
right.
Sure. You know, they maybe there's a different model. Everybody just blindly follows one model that works. But when you have a different base, there's other ways you can make money and maybe not just trying to follow the Facebook model.
Yep. Yeah. You gotta find your own path sometimes. So
since you're the expert, and you, I know you help, you know, you help, and I haven't let you talk enough in this program, but you help so many people get online and so many businesses. What would you say is the number one thing that small businesses or medium-sized businesses need to do to more effectively use the internet and social media? What are they lacking? What are you seeing in your experience?
A good website. A lot of people think that, you know, well, they can't afford it, so they just slap something together. Don't ever slap anything together. You know, put some time and effort into it. You've got to have a good website out there, even if it's just a homepage that says, hi, I'm here, this is what I do, and, you know, contact me here. And then get on, you know, I recommend Facebook. Get on Facebook, start posting, because it's social. You know, think of it in terms of being social. You know, if you're getting together with friends, what do you talk about? You're going to talk about your business. You're going to talk about their work. You know, you're going to talk about things and engage with people on Facebook so that they can get to know you and your business. That's what it's about. It's about creating only your brand, but who, you know, it's creating a feel for your company.
Do you have to be careful so that people don't think that all you're about is pumping your business? If it's a social...
Absolutely.
Media. Then,
absolutely.
Yeah. How do you do that?
If you're constantly posting things like go to my website and buy this now, people are going to get tired and they're not going to respond. You know, so every once in a while, throw something in there, ask people a question, you know, maybe that is kind of business related, but you know, maybe stems off into more of, you know, something a little bit more, you know, socially active. You know, what's happening on TV or find a funny joke and post it as long as it's not, you know, crasser. You want to keep it easy.
Sure. Something, getting back to our concept that you always have to be aware of what you're doing.
Right. But post something to interact people. Don't constantly post out there that, you know, this is what I do and you need to go to my website and you need to buy my product. Put something out there that you think people might like. I share a lot of different things from a lot of different companies. And then every once in a while, I love Halloween. So I shared some stuff on my Facebook post about the scariest haunted houses in the United States. It's not technically related to what I do, but that post reach was phenomenal. I had 5,000 people see that post.
Wow,
and I had
great.
9 people see the one before. You know,
that's
so just
great.
You gotta throw stuff in there that isn't always related. But shows people that you're human.
Sure.
You know, you want to appeal to people. You want to be somebody that they feel like they can come and talk to and that they can approach, and you're amusing, and, you know, just like you would in life. You know, you're not going to constantly talk about your business. You're going to throw in some other things too. And, hey, how was your day? You know, ask your customers how they are or what they like, or, you know, it's, you have to engage the way you would socially in real life. You know, you want to do that on the internet as well.
So basically the internet, social media has just completely changed the business landscape. And if you really want to build your business and go into the next phase, you need to be online. You need to be doing social media.
Absolutely.
And you need to be working with someone like you. Because I know that well, because, you know, being honest is, I just don't spend enough time thinking about it. And I think a lot of business people aren't immersed in that environment. And maybe it's a factor of age. I don't know. But, you know, the younger people seem to be a lot more immersed. But that's why it's so important to have someone like you that understands the world and can help them. Now, how much should somebody pay for? I know it's a huge range and it depends on technology services and, you know, what you have behind the scenes, but people really want to know, what should they be paying for a website? What should they be paying for some good service from, you know, a consulting firm that can help them do some of this stuff?
Well, websites are very different. I mean, you're going to get all kinds of different pricing from $500 to $5,000, depending on what you want. You know, and obviously if you're on a budget, you know, you're going to lean towards probably the more or the less expensive, but, you know, go with somebody that you can trust as far as that goes. Cause I can't, you know, I can't tell people to, you know, oh, pay $500 and that's all you should pay. Cause, you know, I'm not sure what they're getting, but go with somebody that you can trust.
Well, I think that's an important, that's super important, because I have a friend who has a business that hired someone to do a website for him and paid him $1,000 and got nothing. They started but didn't finish it. Now it's a big mess. And it's somehow they're spending more money to do,
Do your research on the firm or the individual that you're getting to do your website. You know, make sure that they're the right fit for you before you sign any contracts, and, you know, then go from there. And as far as, you know, social media posting and that kind of stuff, it's the same thing. You want to make sure that it's the right fit for you, because not all people can work together. You know, make sure that the person understands your type of business, and that they can get your product or your services across in the proper way.
It needs to be tailored. It needs to be tailored for your product. The whole micro, you know, micro advertising, micro target, you have to hire someone that understands that target.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, it's very subjective. You know, I may think that, you know, there's one way to do it, and there's somebody else out there that could do it another way. So you really have to make sure you do your research on who is the right fit for your business. Just because somebody is, you know, they've got a really great profile online, or they've got 1,000 followers, or, you know, 5,000 followers, doesn't mean that it's necessarily the right fit for you to work with. So just make sure that you've got the right person to help you out. You know, as far as pricing and stuff goes, it's very subjective. I like to do more custom stuff. So I start with the base, and then I see what people need, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, if they need help with a blog post, or content writing for their website. And then I go from there and figure out, you know, okay, well, what's your budget? What can we do for that? You know, that kind of thing. So I try to get people what they need, you know, so, without breaking the bank.
So is it okay to add all your contact information on this website for this show? So that
Absolutely.
People can, okay. So what I'm going to do is, if you can send me over all your contact information, I'll put it up there so anybody can download and contact you, cause you're really good at this. And even if you don't fit, there's what they need. You should be able to help them figure out where to go, right?
Yeah, I can help them kind of figure out where they need to go, maybe find somebody that can help them. You know, a lot of people come to me for, like, search engine optimization and Google AdWords and stuff, and I can do it, but it's really not my forte. It's not where I excel, so I've got people that I can refer them to. But, yeah, I'd love to have my information out there, and if anybody's got questions, they can find me on Facebook, too.
Okay, that's great. Thank you, Amy, and I will definitely get your stuff up there. and we can go from there.
Awesome. Thanks so much,
Sarah.
So
you have
Sarah.
A great day.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Too.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
If you are like most professionals, you could do better with your social media. To me, it's kind of a pain in the butt. More work to do and lots of effort. But I know it needs to be done, and it needs to be done well to reach your audience. Social media isn't going away. Sure, it's going to change and evolve, but it'll only grow. It will not go away. If your business does not have a strategy for using social media effectively, it's time to get that done. Investing in a smart strategy will take time and patience, but it will pay off tenfold in the long run. That's it for now. Have a wonderful day.